Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international, and oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome back to hour number three. We're about to go on the phone here momentarily, but I'll just remind you guys. So as I said briefly before we hit the top of the hour, in 2010, when I was elected to the state Senate, we flipped from a Democrat supermajority for 136 straight years to a Republican supermajority overnight. And we were immediately called into a special session for ethics reform. And y'all, it was a freaking mess. Montgomery was rife with corruption. And I don't say that lightly. It was. And a part of that was because our ethics laws were so weak that you couldn't get anything enforced or done. And so in 7 days, we were called in, and in 7 days, we completely changed the landscape in terms of ethics laws. Well, this is some years past now, so that's 2010. We did that in December of 2010. We're now sitting here in 2024. Representative Matt Simpson represents House District 96 from down in the Baldwin County area, Fairhope, Daphne, Spanish Fort, that area, beautiful area. He is a attorney himself. Law degree from Cumberland School of Law, undergrad degree from University of Alabama. He's been serving since, I think, 2018, and he is currently the chair of the House Ethics and Campaign Finance Committee, and he is working right now on what there's a mixed reaction to the idea of what he's proposing to change Alabama's ethics laws. Enough of me talking. Let me bring him on. Representative Matt Simpson, how you doing?
Phil, thank you for having me. Always happy to be on the show.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate that, And listen, I know for a fact that there's no way to please everybody in like any legislation. You can have a bill that says love your mama and it'll still be controversial. You went down an entirely different road. You decided to touch the third rail of politics in Alabama, which is the ethics laws. What are you proposing? And then let's talk about it for a bit.
Yeah, absolutely. So what I'm proposing is kind of a clarification of the ethics laws. And I'm glad you mentioned, you know, what you guys did in 2010. I think that that was, you know, part of what got the legislature shifted over to be a Republican legislature was you guys ran on the handshake with Alabama, and, right, and ethics reform was one of the five fingers of the handshake with Alabama. Now, one of the issues that did come up in the way you talked about it, right, it was done very, very quickly in a period when you had a governor. Bentley was Governor Bentley elect, Governor elect Bentley, and Governor Riley was on the way out, you know, between that election date and swearing in ceremony. So that there was a lot of things done, and you can speak to that much better than I can. But part of what I'm trying to address is the lack of clarity, and basically some of the laws are confusing in the way they've been enforced. Some of the laws aren't clear. You know, we have 300,000 people that are directly affected by the ethics laws. And by that, I mean your city employees, your county employees, and your state employees. By the time you include their extended family who fall under the ethics laws, you're looking at over, you know, I've heard, you know, the report that was done in 2019 said that this was 1 million. And I've heard that's as high as up to 1.1 to 1.2 million people now, which is roughly a quarter of our population, a little less than a quarter of our population that fall under the ethics laws. Now, Phil, I've been practicing law for about just short of 20 years, been a prosecutor, I'm a career prosecutor, and I prosecuted some ethics cases as a prosecutor. I still, to this day, have to call the Ethics Commission to ask them, can I do this? Am I allowed to do this? What's permissible? What's not permissible? You know, where's the line? Where can I go? What can I not do? Just to make sure that I don't cross it. Now, my concern has been with my experience and with my history of doing this, if I can't even figure out where the lines are, what chance does the teacher have? What chance does your city maintenance worker, what chance does your firefighter, your police responder, first responder have a chance to understand the convoluted and confusing laws as they are written? So that's the premise that we started with.
Okay. I hear the premise, but let me jump into details before we run out of time. So what exactly would you change? Because right now there is pushback from even the Ethics Commission itself, from the Attorney General's office, from, you know, former prosecutors who used to prosecute, you know, state officials. I mean, we walked on eggshells on our own laws for a while, you know, right, during the Hubbard trials and all of that. And I get it. There are times you're like, oh my God, can I do this or not? I don't know what can I, can I not do? And so sometimes the safe thing was do nothing. But that being said, they're also there for a reason. So what would you do?
So what we're trying to do is the first thing we're trying to do is clarify if you can go to prison. So if you're doing one of the things that can send you to prison, then that moves to the criminal code. So that's your crimes of bribery, your crime of use of office for personal gain. And those are handled just like every other case. Those are handled by the district attorney or the AG. Those are go in front of the jury. You want to make sure that, if it's a crime that sends you to prison, this is the path that you go down, and that's the criminal law. What we've also created, if it's an administrative resolution or some sort of civil fine or civil punishment, then it would go into the ethics commission, and they would be responsible for that. So your conflict of interest, your things of that aren't necessarily things that people would go to prison for. Your gift ban, like if somebody, we're raising the gift ban from right now, I think it's $32, we'd raise the gift ban to $100. But if somebody gives you, if you go to dinner or something, and what we're doing is making it to where these things aren't being prosecuted now anyway. They're not prosecuting people for going on to a $35 dinner right now because the jury is not going to waste their time with it. This would move that, if you go above the threshold, this would move that to a civil punishment, or you'd have to pay restitution back. You'd have to pay fines. You'd have to be handled through that way. It just kind of makes it cleaner and clearer.
Okay, so I get the idea of criminal prosecution. I think I can see that one. On the gift exclusion, mm-hmm. Now, I may need to go take a shower after I quote Kyle Whitmire from AL.com. But AL.com, who I think they actually hate living in Alabama and pretend that they like it, but he wrote a piece today talking about how your new bill is going to make everybody suddenly have a lot of special friends.
And that's what's hilarious to me about the Whitmire article today. The friendship exception is already in the current law.
Right.
That's not a change. That's not a change that we make.
Right.
We don't touch the friendship exception in this law. Everything he wrote in that article today is something he's complaining about the way the law is as it sits today without touching this bill. So I hate to say disingenuous, but I will say wrong, just flat out wrong for the article that he wrote today.
Well, and I have found that to be the truth more often than not with him. Let me ask you this. You guys, if I'm not mistaken, your bill has already been voted out of committee, the committee you chair, I believe.
It has not had
floor action yet in the House, has it?
No, we're still, we had a meeting yesterday with the District Attorneys Association and the Attorney General. Has some feedback, some good feedback from them, from some changes that they'd like to see to come through. Actually, I've always said this was a work in progress. This is a bill that we've been working on for a year, and every step of the way has been transparent as to how we're making changes and what we're doing. So we worked today. I just left the meeting right now to step out to come talk to you guys on some changes that we're putting in that were the requests of the District Attorneys Association and some of the recommendations from the Attorney General's office. And we're going to put that into a substitute. I anticipate that substitute being released on Thursday to the public, to the members, to everybody, so that way they have a chance to see it. We're going to spring break next week, and hopefully, through leadership, I'm working on trying to get this up as soon as we possibly can when we get back from spring break. So it gives everybody at least a week and a half to read the bill, to kind of go through line by line and make sure. I'm not asking people to take my word for it. I want them to read it. I want them to see it.
Well,
some of the hits and some of the complaints are just, they haven't read the bill.
Well, and rightfully so. I'll go ahead and tell you too, there's an article I've got here. It's an out-of-state article, but it refers to your bill. And it says that initially your draft bill had the $100 gift ban. But it says that the version that has been filed had a $500 gift ban instead, like it had been changed. So is it $100 or $500?
It's a $100 gift ban. That the aggregate for the year is $500. So you can have, if somebody gives you, no matter what, if they give you less than $100, they still can't give you more than $500 for the year.
Okay. Has there been any reduction in penalties? I saw there's something moving it from a Class B to a Class C. Is there anything changing in terms of
penalties? We're moving penalties up. We're moving bribery from a Class C to a Class B. If somebody does something with a quid pro quo, if you're making an agreement to vote on a bill or take an official action based on a promise of a gift to you, a promise of action to you or someone else, that, that bribery quid pro quo moves up in punishment from a Class C to a Class B felon.
Okay. Are you exempting anybody who's currently included in the ethics laws coverage?
We're exempting judges who are currently included. Judges have to answer to their own judicial inquiry commission. They have their own canon of ethics. They have their own requirements of what they have to do. So, you know, we're going through and making it to where it's, they're not included in the ethics laws because they already have their own laws they have to follow and their own procedure that they have to go through. Now, we're narrowing some of the family members, extended, we're making sure that they can't give government contracts to an extended family. And we've got a long list of who you can't steer government contracts to. But we're not, again, we're trying to make sure that these laws should not apply to over a million people. We want to make sure that they make sense. So many laws are written based on the 140 people in this building, and they don't think of the 300,000 public workers to make sure that, they're covered. We're trying to make sure that people that are responsible.
I got to tell you, though, some of the most egregious things that I've seen have been violations of the public trust at the small town level. I mean, I've done municipal law in my practice for 20 years, and I can just tell you, I've seen embezzlement, I've seen bribes, I've seen gifts, I've seen road building contracts, sewering contracts, all of it. So you're not exempting those folks, are you?
No, that's not exempt. No, the contracts. And again, this is what you have to. This is a different strategy than where you guys have. So bribery and use of office for personal gain are criminal, and those would still be in the criminal code, and those are prosecuted criminally. The ethics issue of who would fall under the ethics code is narrowed down a bit. But you still have all those city workers, anybody making contracts, anybody that has the ability to spend government money, those people fall under the statement of economic interest. Anybody using their office for personal gain, if that office is a personal gain, that person would still be prosecuted.
Okay. All right. Well, then about a minute to go here. I'm going to run out of time. Just tell me this. What's your anticipation? Do you think it's going to pass on the floor, and do you have a Senate sponsor for it?
My understanding, the Senate sponsor is going to be Senator Jabbo Wagner. I've worked with other members in the Senate. We've had plenty of discussion with members of the Senate to go through this bill. They've read it. They kind of had input on what we have here, what we have there, and making sure that they're comfortable with it. Yeah, I'm optimistic that it passed. I'd never want to count my chickens before they hatch, but we'll see what we have.
Well, I know that the Alabama Law Institute is supposed to be apolitical, but have they assisted you in drafting this and Othney Latham and his people?
Othney Latham and his people have had some of the best minds in the state that helped draft this. Othney Latham, Jimmy Antrikin, Paula Green with LSA, Greg Buttress is an attorney that practices this. We had our committee meetings all summer. We had multiple committee meetings where we had down. We had the head of the American Law Institute Ethics Commission, Professor Brefault, came down and spoke to the committee. So we're not looking at what just other states around us are doing. We're looking at what the nation is doing. There's 49 other states and include the federal laws on ethics. We're not reinventing the wheel. We're just kind of taking, hey, what works here, what works here, what works there, and kind of looking how this works on a global scheme, not just a, hey, we're going to be, taking a certain stance on certain. We want to see what's right.
All right. Well, Representative Matt Simpson from House District 96 down yonder in Baldwin County, thank you for coming on today, giving us the lay of the land. I told you up front that I was leery and I'd ask questions, and you certainly had answers. I appreciate your time today, and keep us posted on where it goes, all right?
Absolutely. Hey, I'll be happy to send you a copy of this new draft when it comes out Thursday.
Okay, yeah, please do. All right. Thank you so much for your time. I ran long on that one, trying to get in as much as I could. So, Big Rig, take it right to the break, brother. We'll come right back, and we'll talk about this a little bit more. And then we'll go down a few pieces of breaking news and take some text messages. You guys, stay tuned. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back.